So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 27, Indra and Surabhi offer prayers. Today's text, text 8. Satvam mamaishvarya madhatutasya. Kritagasaste vidusa prabhavam. Shantum prabhutarasi mudha chetaso. Naivam punar bhunmatya ishame sati. Satvam mamaishvarya madhatutasya. Kritagasaste vidusa prabhavam. Kshantum prabhotarhasi muda chetaso. Naivam punar bhunmatya ishame sati. Please chant. Satvam mamaishvarya madhatutasya. Kritagasaste vidusa prabhavam. Satvam mamaishvarya madhatutasya. Satvam mamaishvarya madhatutasya. Kritagasaste vidusa prabhavam. Kshantum prabhutarasi mudha chetaso. Naivam punar bhunmatya ishame sati. Any other? Okay. And I forgot to say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Word for word, Saha, he, Tvam, yourself, Mama, of me, Aishvarya, of rulership, Mada, in the intoxication, Lutasya, who is submerged, Krita, having committed, Agasaha, sinful offense. Te, your. Avisuddha, yes. Yeah. Abhidusaha,
not knowing.
Prabhavam, the transcendental influence. Kshantam, to forgive. Prabho, O Master. Atha, therefore. Arhasi, you should. Mudha, foolish. Chetasaha, whose intelligence? Ma, never. Evam, thus. Punaha, again. Bhut, may it be. Mati, consciousness. Isha, O Lord. May, my. Asati, impure. So this is Indra speaking, the translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Engrossed in pride over my ruling power, ignorant of your majesty, I offended you. O Lord, may you forgive me. My intelligence was bewildered, but let my consciousness never again be so impure. Please repeat. Engrossed in pride over my ruling power,
ignorant of your majesty,
I offended you.
O Lord, may you forgive me.
My intelligence was bewildered, but let my consciousness never again be so impure. Although Lord Krishna protected the residents of Braja by lifting Govardhan Hill, he had not yet punished Indra himself. And Indra feared that at any moment Sri Krishna might call the son of Vivishwan, Yamaraj, who punishes impudent persons who defy the laws of God. Indra was quite fearful and thus begged the Lord's forgiveness on the plea that he could be purified only by Krishna's mercy, that he was too stubborn to learn a good lesson through mere punishment. In fact, despite Indra's humility in this case, his heart was not completely purified. Later on in this canto, we find that when Lord Krishna once took a parijata flower from Indra's kingdom, poor Indra again reacted violently against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, we should aspire to go back to our eternal home in the kingdom of Krishna and should not become entangled in the imperfect life of the material God. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shavakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Sanditam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Sagarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kaupa Taru Vyaisha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Thank you all for coming to the Srimad Bhagavatam class and those online as well for listening. Poor Indra is referred to in this purport. Poor Indra again reacted violently later on, even though now he's repentant. So we've been through the verses of leading up to this point of Indra becoming upset that what he considered belonging to him, the offerings that Vrijvasis had prepared for their annual Indra Yajna, had been, on the advice of a small child, usurped and given instead to Govardhan Hill. So that made him angry. And he was considering himself the king of heaven, a very important post. Yes? So anytime any of us is given some responsibility, we have to remember this, because sometimes it happens that such responsibility, even if we're only given the charge of half a dozen people, we might think, oh yes, and I'm the boss, and I'm in control. And we may become puffed up. Years ago, when somebody was the temple president, boy, that meant, that was really something. I mean, they did, of course, have so much responsibility, but always the maha plate. And even those who collected money, I was in that group whenever we came back to the temple after being away. We were given mahaprasadam, and the ordinary devotees that didn't go out and make that sacrifice of being away from home and bringing in the money didn't get maha every day. So, you know, our heads swelled up quite considerably. It actually took quite a lot to get them back down to a more normal size after stopping that service. And this is the tendency that when we have some position, conditioned souls very much tend to become intoxicated by that, and that's what happened to Indra. So a couple of things. I was fortunate enough to attend the Japa seminar over the weekend with Samapriya and Dhruva, and they had a number of handouts, and one of them was on the point of how important it is to have a repentant heart. And this is where Indra is now. This is a good place to be, having made the mistake, having brought thunderclouds down to rain on Govardhan Hill and actually tried to kill all the Vrijvasis and all their animals. That was pretty hateful. But he was so easily defeated by Krishna's just lifting the hill, tell everyone, come on, you come under, and holding it like an umbrella for a full week. 7 nights, 7 days, nobody was even hungry or thirsty. They didn't need to sleep. They were just looking at Krishna and appreciating how wonderful he was, and sometimes helping him a little. The cowherd men with their canes, the boys offering, you hand it to me for a while, your hand must be getting tired. They so much thought of themselves as Krishna's equal that they couldn't understand his supremacy, even though he was exhibiting such extraordinary strength. So then Indra finally did become humbled, and he's come here with Surabhi, putting her first because he knows the cows are very dear to Krishna. So she has said some prayers. Now he's fearful and repentant. So this, I just researched a little bit. I'm sure there are many, many examples in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and all the scriptures of the benefits and different examples of devotees feeling repentant. But this is from the teachings of Lord Kapila. He's instructing his mother and Devahuti, and he's describing to her the actual mentality of the human soul when it's within the womb. And in that particular position, there's quite a vivid description given of how the back is arched in such a way, and the bodily fluids are there on the embryo, and little worms are biting. And Prophet actually says in the purport there that if an adult person were put into such a position, he would probably die within a few seconds. The pain was so intense. But this living entity is in a position like that. And Lord Kapila is telling his mother that in that position, the living entity remembers his eternal relationship to the Lord, and he's praying to the Lord with folded palms. And this is one of the part of what he says. I, the pure soul, appearing now, bound by my activities, am lying in the womb of my mother by the arrangement of Maya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who is also here with me, but who is unaffected and changeless. He is unlimited, but he is perceived in the repentant heart. To him I offer my respectful obeisances. So in part of the purport of that verse, Prabhupada says, he is in the heart of every living entity, but he can be realized only by a soul who is repentant. The individual soul becomes repentant that he forgot his constitutional position, wanted to become one with the Supreme Soul, and tried his best to lord it over material nature. He has been baffled, and therefore he is repentant. At that time, Supersoul, or the relationship between the Supersoul and the individual soul, is realized. So it's a very important component of bhakti to actually see what is our real position and how we came into this place and regret the foolish decision that we made to leave Krishna's company in the spiritual world and to come to this world and try to enjoy. We can pretty easily pick out Indra as having made a terrible mistake. He does it repeatedly throughout the Bhagavatam. But if we look at our own lives, probably we'll also see that we have a tendency to make a similar type of mistake again and again and again. I was thinking of, there's a Christian hymn, Amazing Grace, starts off the way it was originally written. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So the person who's writing it, he's feeling very repentant. He's thinking of himself as a wretch. Well, nowadays, they sing the song, and it's Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. Changed wretch to soul. So, in other words, there's no place for repentance. I was pure. I'm pure now. I'll be pure in the future. I'm a soul. Which is, okay, we are a soul. But we should see what is our position, that we've come into this material world. It's a Mayavad conception, actually, the way the words have been changed. And this is why it's so important in Prabhupada's prana mantras, you know, nirvisesha shunyavadi paschita desatarna. He's come to save the Western world from impersonalism and voidism. And we may think, oh, in the West, we weren't impersonalists. We were just in Maya. But the philosophy of impersonalism, it's very insidious, and it's creeping all throughout so many facets of life. So that's just one example of how the concept of, oh, I did something wrong and need to be redeemed. I need mercy to be redeemed. Indra is saying in this verse that he was too stubborn to learn a good lesson through mere punishment, and he was understanding he needed also Krishna's mercy. So in this month of Damodar, we learn and we recite every day how this rope that Mother Yashoda was carrying, at first it wasn't sufficient. to quite reach around the waist of her little son. It was just 2 fingers or 2 inches too short. So then she just thought, okay, I'll add another rope to it, then it will fit. So she ties another rope, this other one, 6 or 8 inches, puts them together. We all know math. You know, if you add something that's more than 2 to something that was only missing 2, should work now, right? Yeah, but no, it still doesn't quite reach. Still 2 fingers, 2 inches too short. And of course, she took all the ropes in the household, tied them all together very laboriously. Still, Krishna's little waist was just 2 inches bigger than the rope could reach. All the neighbor ladies heard the fun. They're also coming, bringing all the ropes from their homes. And somehow or another, it wasn't able to reach. But then Krishna's seeing his mother, oh, the flowers are falling from her hair, she's perspiring, she's trying so hard. Let her find me. So the acharyas have explained these 2 fingers or 2 inches represent 2 aspects of how we can go back home. And one is we have to make the effort. We have to make the endeavor. In our case, it's following the rules, doing what Srila Prabhupada has told to do. And the other one is by showing our sincerity, by chanting Hare Krishna as attentively as we're able, we'll progress to more and more absorption. And then Krishna's mercy is that other finger. So our endeavor and Krishna's mercy together make it so the rope can hold him. And that's why we say he was bound not by ropes, but by his mother's pure love. But no matter how much love she had, I mean, Krishna has to give his mercy but he can't help but give his mercy because she loves him so much. Like there's that example when the gopis were chasing Krishna one day, and he thinks, oh, let me hide. So he disguised himself as Lord Narayan. Four-handed form, he's standing there, the girls are running, and they, oh, the Lord is here. Oh, they bow down, so nice to see you. Please accept our obeisances. Did you see which way Krishna went? The Lord is personally there, and they're only wanting Krishna. So he was able to fool all the gopis, but when Radharani came, he's standing as Narayan, she comes in front of him, forearms suddenly turned to 2 with flute. He can't do it. So there is such a stage of love. We can only aspire to serve those that are there. That actually forces Krishna to give his mercy. So, but it's not the kind of force that we know of, you know, with brutality and policemen to control a crowd. Not that type of force. But by pure love. Pure love can control Lord Krishna. So I also looked up some part of the Krishna book where it's described this thing that's referred to, that Indra, later on in the Bhagavatam, took a Parijata flower from Indra's kingdom. But I just wonder whether anybody has any examples of other devotees or other situations where the repentant heart gets Krishna to give his mercy. Anybody? Okay, Mother Maho.
Similar in one spot is Lord Chaitanya with Jagai Mata.
Ah.
Which is in our line.
Completely. Yeah, completely. And the same thing. It wasn't like an automatic repentance. It was only at the threat when Sudarshan Chakra is coming, about to cut off their head. Suddenly, there are no atheists in the foxhole, right? Yes, Lord Brahma, just a couple chapters ago, he stole the calves and cowherd boys, and he was thinking, I know so much mystic potency. I'll take these boys away, I'll put them in a cage. And he comes back, and what does he see? All the boys are there, just happily eating out of their tiffins and sharing with Krishna, just like they were before. And he's bewildered. Yes, and then it said his mystic power became what, like a like a glow worm in the daytime. You know, at night you see these fireflies, you know, dark, something lighting. When I was a kid, we would capture a bunch of them in a jar to sort of make a light. But that light doesn't mean much when the sun is up. So Lord Brahma became completely humiliated, and then he was repentant for his... Yeah, that's a good one. Thanks. Okay, let me read this part from the Krishna book, because so relishable. Oh, no, actually, this is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Indra's now answering Narada Muni, who is being sent from devotee to devotee, and each one, instead, like, someone might come to us and say, oh, you're such a good devotee, and we're thinking, yeah. But the real devotees, he goes to them, and they're thinking, no, not me, but so-and-so. So then he goes to so-and-so, when he's coming to Indra, Indra is deflecting the praise this is one verse, Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1:2:19. You must also know that my brother, Lord Upendra, intentionally disregarded me by taking from heaven the Sudharma hall and the Parijata flower and bringing them to earth. So, in this commentary, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, here Indra refutes the claim that among the demigods he has the special favor of the Lord. The Supreme Person, whom Indra knows as his brother Upendra, appeared on earth in his original identity, Sri Krishna, to favor the Yadus and his wives in Dwarka. Krishna removed from heaven the Sudharma assembly hall and the Parijata, the flower that grows only in Indra's realm. These affronts were particularly intolerable because Krishna brought the Sudharma and Parijata to Dwarka on earth, a planet of lesser beings where death is prominent. The imperishable Sudharma and Parijata should not have been subjected to such indignities. That's what Indra was thinking. Narada had used Indra's possessing the Parijata flower as a reason for praising him, but Indra retorts that he has only been embarrassed because of the flower. Krishna's having stolen these two treasures proves that Krishna is more favorable to the devotees in Dwarka than to Indra, whom he does not hesitate to shame. So then he goes on and says, for a devotee to feel dissatisfied with himself is a natural part of devotional service. Indra expresses natural humility here, and the other Vaishnavas Narada will meet will speak similarly. Each devotee thinks that Lord Krishna only seemingly favors him, but really acts to satisfy devotees who are dearer. So, there's another topic that for a devotee to feel dissatisfied with himself is a natural part of devotional service. And yet, you know, lamentation is something that's said to be indulged in by Shudras. So that's often a question that comes up, you know, humility versus low self-esteem. And so the general response I've heard so many times is that humility doesn't mean that you think less of yourself, but you think of yourself less. You're busy serving others, serving the Lord. But you also have to look honestly and see, I fall so far short of what pure devotion is. One dictionary definition of humility is honest admission of one's own shortcomings. So that honesty has to be there, but not that we should grovel or wallow in our misfortune, but we should just simply admit, oh yes, I'm a fool. I'm imperfect. I make mistakes. Now how can I serve the devotees? How can I do some service for Krishna? How can I help spread Krishna consciousness? And that way, the humility is put to good use. Because we can, if we see some fault in others, we won't have to think, oh yes, that person is faulty. We can think, oh yeah, another kindred soul. They have faults, I have faults. So maybe I can reach out to them, and then it becomes a way of connecting and giving them an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, take some prasad, and serve in some way. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Okay.
In the Damodar Leela.
Yes.
Here's an example.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Is it that all around the it is always, it is one coil and it's two fingers short. Is it multiple coils and two fingers short or one coil and two?
Well, I'll give an answer that Srila Prabhupada gave on a similar type of question. For that, you have to go there. But I will say that this is part of the understanding that Krishna is inconceivable. Because by logic, to our brains, which are accustomed to live in a world where physics and, you know, the principle of mathematics, you know, is more or less absolute to our understanding, how is it possible? The ladies were also thinking, how is it possible? And they were laughing. But I can't think that it would go around and around, because then he would already have been bound. But the real point is that Krishna is completely beyond the realm where all these material laws apply. They're part of his external energy. His pastimes take place within the internal energy, even time, which is such an important factor here. There, it's conspicuous by its absence. And in one place, Srila Prabhupada says, I think it's in CC, that in the spiritual world, not a moment is wasted. Therefore, there is no past, present, or future. You know, it's like every iota of everyone's consciousness is fully absorbed in loving Krishna. Maybe, I mean, I don't know, I could only speculate, you know. But the ropes themselves could shrink each time and look the same. You know what I mean? There's any number of ways that Krishna could deal with it, but the point is, it is inconceivable to our brain. That's why it's so wonderful. And he does it so effortlessly. I mean, why not ask how a little boy could pick up a hill? You know, how he could kill a monster that came as a beautiful woman but expanded to be 8 miles long. And he's playing on her breast like, you know, it's just a hill of sand or something. Everything he does is actually inconceivable and wonderful and charming. But as far as giving a logical answer to that, I certainly can't. Is that all right? Nita?
I was wondering if you can explain, you explained the difference between this low self-esteem and humility. And I feel, at least for me, the repentance and the guilt sit very close together. And
right.
I have to be very careful, you know, not to mistake one for the other. So I was wondering, can you explain what's the difference and how can we guard against feeling too guilty, so we become, you know, if we feel debilitated and so negative about ourselves, instead of feeling repentant?
I remember hearing some years ago when Sannyasi was asked the question, he said, no, it's good. If you've done some mistake or done something wrong, you should feel guilty for a minute and then let it go. So it's the holding on to it, I think, that becomes our enemy. That if we, again, it's to think of yourself less. But because you're holding on to it and wallowing in it, it becomes, oh, I'm so fallen, I just can't do anything. And so you can't do anything because you're telling yourself again and again, I'm fallen, I can't do anything, I'm fallen. Why should I do it? It's useless. Krishna won't accept it anyway. But feel bad. Feel regret. I don't think it's so much that they're different in quality. It's our attitude towards it. Repentance and guilt. If you do something wrong, you should feel guilty. That's repentance. But not to wallow in it. Just acknowledge it, correct yourself, and go on. Like with Jagai and Madai, the difference was like, or like Jesus told his disciples after three, go and sin no more. You know, so you've offended so many vices, now you're repentant. Don't do it again. Or at an initiation, we take these vows. We may not always be able to live up to them, but when we catch ourselves and get back to the platform, okay, go on. And even situate, like sometimes a sannyasi would fall down from sannyas. Prabhupada wouldn't say, oh, you know, go and kill yourself. Well, then marry. And keep on serving this movement. Keep on pushing forward Lord Chaitanya's teachings. That's okay?
Hare Krishna. Sadhguruji, very nice class. Thank you so much. I wanted to mention, since you brought up this wonderful topic of repentance, that I used to be in possession of a tape, and I think it was Judy Collins, the folk singer.
Right.
But apparently it was a slave master who had written the song.
I read a book, or there's a movie about it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that was just kind of significant, and I think
that
he
is
did
significant.
Repent
yes.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Much. I think he was a big time one that kind of took shiploads of
yeah.
slaves.
Yeah, he got that right.
So.
Yeah, that's the one who wrote the song. Thank you. Yeah, trafficking in human beings.
I remember a long time ago when Gopi Puranadana Prabhu was living in Miami Temple, they were finishing up the Bhagavatam, and he gave a class once and he said that if you have a headache, the prayaschitta or the atonement, you know, it's not that you should feel, oh, I'm suffering and I deserve this, so he said, no, the prayaschitta or the atonement is to take an aspirin or take some medicine to get rid of it. And then in Vrindavan, one of the sannyasis, I'm sorry, I can't remember who, said that if we're feeling guilty about something we did wrong, that's the prayaschitta, that's the purification to amend. You know, that's a prayaschitta means the atonement, so that's the proper atonement to get rid of the offense or whatever that we're feeling guilty for.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned that in case of Indra, he repented here, and then later on he moved on and offended again, and you know. And we do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yes.
Right? And so... And that kind of repentance, I remembered, you know, actually I opened up the verse on my iPhone. In Nectar of Instruction, verse 1, Srila Prabhupada in the purport condemns such a repentance, saying that, look, an elephant, you know, washes himself and then goes back and makes himself dirty. And he gives the examples of Christians, you know, on Sunday they go and, you know, repent in front of the you know, priest.
Confession.
And then, right, confession. So we do that all the time. So what's the value of such a repentance?
Well, it's the, again, it's the quality of heart. If like it's not all Christians, but the Catholics in particular have the practice of confession on Saturday. And I remember one god sister had been raised in a Catholic family, and she said, "We used to go to confession every Saturday, and so I would have to make up things. I fought with my brother and sister, I lied, I stole," and she hadn't done any of those things. But because the whole family, everybody had to go to confession, you confess something. So she was just making stuff up. I mean, that, to have a practice that's so mechanical that, I have to think of something that I can say I'm sorry for. Okay, go say 10 Hail Marys or whatever. You know, it's It doesn't have to be done mechanically, though. There's plenty of people that are in the Catholic Church that are pursuing a path of pure love of God. When they go, they're saying, you know, I was selfish at this moment when I could have given myself. You know, like that. That's repentance that calls the Lord's heart. So it's something about the quality of the utterance. And in this verse we were talking about, the elephant, the prayaschitta, you know, the elephant goes and bathes and then he comes out and rolls in the dust. It's if we don't mean it, there's no point. But Krishna is unlimitedly willing. This was something that came up, that he's always ready to take those 10 steps towards us if we take one step towards him. He's going with the living entity throughout all the different species of life. You know, when we were pigs, he was right there in our heart. We're like thinking, oh, this stool is so great. I don't want hollow, but I've got this, you know. And he's just watching. But he's with us. He's just staying with us wherever we go. And it's the moment we turn our face towards him. Yes, come. Yes, come. Here's a devotee. Here's a prasad. Here's my holy name. And this is why we say that the best, the greatest quality of Krishna is his mercy. But we should be looking in our own hearts to see, am I sincere? I mean, the thing is, that's why I say it's easy for us to pick on Indra. It's so obvious how he gets puffed up. But who among us, if we had that much power, wouldn't? You know? Somebody's in charge of a corporation and they're thinking they're the, you know, on top of the world. Even if it's a little corporation. But but we were advised in today's purport, thus poor Indra again reacted violently. Thus we should aspire to go back to our eternal home in the kingdom of Krishna and should not become entangled in the imperfect life of the material God. So this is the point where it's not that sometimes say we're pursuing a goal in the material world. Oh, you know, I want to move forward in my job, so I'm going to flatter my boss. So you flatter your boss, but then you make some mistake and the boss becomes angry. You know, oh, I'm so sorry. But why are you sorry? You're sorry because you're not going to get the raise that you wanted. The real motivation is the money. But you have to say you're sorry because he's the one that's pulling the string. But love for, so Indra's relationship is a little bit like that. That's why there's one verse in the Bhagavatam, akama sarvakama va moksha kama vidardi. Whether you have all desires or no desires at all, or whether you're full of material desires, or whether you want liberation. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Yajeta Purusham Param. The best thing to do, the advice given to this person and that person and that person, given the advice, same advice is given to the demigods, is given to the Mayavadis, is given to the devotees. Just worship Krishna with one pointed attention and then you'll get the best thing. You know, so if somebody's coming with that motivation, I want stuff and lots of it and good stuff. But they're told, oh, is that what you want? Okay. Worship Krishna with one point of attention. The more you come and bring your lamp, we were just hearing, you know, one lamp during Kartik, all the sins of so many kalpas are gone. It doesn't make logical sense. It's inconceivable. You know, who can tie up the Supreme Lord with a little lamp? Because he wants to. He feels like getting mercy all month. So that's faith. Being able to just accept that and go forward, that's faith. That's a wonderful thing. Okay? Sorry, Mukund has the mic.
Oh, so two things. Wonderful class, first of all, because repentance is a very, very important part of bhajan life. Without repentance, you cannot do real bhajan life. But other thing also, with Indra, Brahma, all the demigods, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna said, Muyanti Yat Suryo, that the demigods, they worship Lord Narayan, so they know the quality and the standard of Lord Narayan. And even when Lord Ram came, they understood Ram, because of his Maryada, he was Bhagavan. chivalrous. But this Leela, like Krishna, very sweet Leela, they did not ever see. So by the influence of Yoga Maya, they also became bewildered by seeing this thing, and many of the things they did was the result of the influence of Yoga Maya. Because it would be inconsistent that they could offend Bhagavan, same time interbrudge, have direct darshan, right. Talk to him, everything
right.
else.
Right.
And it happened with everybody, with right. Yamaraj, with Varuna, with Brahma, so all right. the demigods got bewildered
right.
like that.
Right.
And Prabhu had asked about the two ropes.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jiva Goswami also explained that all of the ladies of Braj, they used to go to Mother Yashoda and tell every day the Harikatha of how Krishna stole in their house. So Mother Yashoda always had some doubt about it, because Krishna never stole in his own house. So finally, of course, after Diwali, Mother Yashoda sent all servants, I'm not telling the whole story like that, but anyway, Krishna finally steals in his own house. Now because Mother Yashoda, she is the archetype, she is the emblematic symbol of Vatsalya Prem. So if you want to love Krishna like that, you'll have to take shelter of Mother Yashoda. So all the other gopis, though they had stolen and they witnessed his pastimes, and Mother Yashoda had not, now that Krishna stole in her own house and she tried to bind him, it connected the love of all the other elder Brijabasi women, because after she ran out of ropes in her own house, they all went to their own homes and brought back ropes. So Jiva Goswami explains when they connected their ropes with Yashoda, they gave their hearts, taratnit, or like giving their heart to Mother Yashoda, so now their Vatsalya Prem could be very, very high.
Right.
So Krishna would not allow himself to be bound until this took place.
Right, right, right. Which also makes me think, thank you so much, that's so sweet. And it's like the combined love of all the Brijabasis, and that suddenly made me think of the word Sankirtan. It's not that we sing alone, but the more we sing together, the more we work together, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. Just push this movement on after I'm gone. You know, this working together in Krishna's service, that also happens. Thank you. That was sweet.
I was just going to make this one simple statement, that it's so nice to be involved in the postgraduate study of all religion, because as you were saying, when they go to make confession, you know, we're understanding that we're walking on ants, we're breathing in microbes, we're doing so many, these things have been considered sins, and Prabhupada's small books, he's writing their sins. It's simple.
Right.
These small things.
Right, yeah,
so
and not just walking on ants, but when they bite me, I kill them as fast as I can.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Madame Mohan.
One comment is that we get to practice this every day. When would be a good time to practice this? With Lord Chaitanya, he recommends Janata Peace Nichina. So every time we chant, it would be a nice practice to incorporate that into our chanting all the time.
The repentant part.
That's where you had come in.
Like,
where,
oh, the last time I chanted one round, I wasn't paying close enough attention. I feel regret. Let me try that.
Okay. Just the repentant consciousness, the mood, if we didn't have it, wouldn't be here.
Oh, tell me about it.
Because it wouldn't seem valuable. This spiritual pursuit wouldn't seem valuable if you didn't come to some point and say, oops, you know, what have I been doing? Let me get this together here. Where do I go? What do I do? And you need that repentance. You need humility. Otherwise,
right.
You couldn't learn. You can't. If you're not humble, you can't learn. And if you're not pursuing spiritual, you wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be involved.
That song, Amazing Grace, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fear is relieved. So
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
There you go.
Prabhupada came and found us and said, get out of the gutter.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, just do this. You know. And you can't expect that you're going to do it all after billions of births of not doing it right. And then we see examples like Brahma, Indra, and like. And it's
right.
also the Yoga Maya thing is there, but still, it's
yeah.
for us to learn that
yeah.
who are we? You know, we're so tiny.
Yeah.
When they ask
yeah.
the priest asked Prabhupada, how could we possibly have forgotten if it's so wonderful? I would say, because we're teeny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It may be 2 inches, but our inch of effort is going to amount to something like a real inch, and Krishna's inch of mercy is like 10 miles wide. in our case. Okay, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.